Bibles, please, for our second scripture reading, our Old Testament reading, 2 Kings chapter 24. For those of you that like such terms, the penultimate chapter of 2 Kings. 2 Kings 24, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. And the king of Egypt came not again any more out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan, of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, and none remained, save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and the officers, and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths 1,000, and all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So this chapter has the succession of three different kings, Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim, and then Zedekiah. And we'll use their given names, although those names were given to them by their conquerors, right? Those names were given to them by their conquerors. And it is an interesting thing. You know, if you look at those names, they are, in their meaning, a testimony against those monarchs and their wickedness. All three of these men were wicked. It's an interesting thing to note, though. I do want you to understand that. So if you want to get perhaps a fuller take of everything that is said here, you're going to also turn to 2 Chronicles, right, in the 33s, 34s, 35s, those chapters. But you're also going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 38, 39, 40, 41. And you're going to hear Jeremiah's account of these days. It's fascinating to compare these scriptures to show what the various authors have to say about the fall of Jerusalem. So I would send you on that errand if you have the time and inclination to do it. All right, well, let's jump into our passage here. First of all, we have this first wave, and remember that there were three waves of attack that Nebuchadnezzar performed. There were three different ones. In the book of Zechariah, when we read, "Shall I fast in the fifth month and in the seventh month?" What the Jews were doing is they were commemorating the months in which Nebuchadnezzar came up time after time to decimate even more of the land, to put them under siege, to take more captives, and so on. And that's when Zechariah the prophet will say, "When you fasted in those months, did you fast even to me?" Remember that? Yeah. All right, so Nebuchadnezzar comes up, but it's not just Nebuchadnezzar. Notice it says, "The Lord sent against him," that is Jehoiakim, "bands of the Chaldees, Syrians, Moabites, and Ammonites." If you will, north, south, east, and west have come down upon Jerusalem because of Jerusalem's idolatry and because the Lord has sent his prophets rising up early and sending them, and they have not heard. And finally, because, as it says here directly, because of the sins and bloodthirstiness of Manasseh. Notice that even Manasseh's reforms that we read about in 2 Chronicles could not undo what had taken place in the land. That is, because it was not Manasseh acting alone. He had help. The people love to have it so, is how the prophets put it. And so the Lord raises up these terrible judgments, and yet, notice, the kings refuse repentance. The rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. All right, so Jehoiakim, you know, Jehovah shall establish, really? What's he going to establish? He's establishing his judgment, isn't he? This is a sort of, an accusation from the Lord. But there's something about Jehoiakim that I want you to notice, and that is his difference with Zedekiah. After 3 months of being besieged, Jehoiakim does what no other monarch did, and that is they listened to Jeremiah. He listened, and he said, "The prophet has told me that I need to go out and be captured by the king of Babylon," and so he did. We're going to find out some amazing things about this. That he's taken captive to Babylon. And when he's taken captive to Babylon, it says that he's put in prison. But the prison was more like that house that Paul had, where he had a guard by him, and he was given some victuals from the king. There's a record in the annals of Babylon that talk about Jehoiakim coming and how he was maintained by the king while he was in prison, even before, as we'll read in chapter 25, that he's brought to the king's table. So what does Jehoiakim do? He does what the prophet said. He obeys the word of the prophet. And not only for himself, but for his household as well. His mother, his relatives, his servants, his princes, his officers. they all took him in the eighth year of his reign to Babylon. And then Nebuchadnezzar comes in and loots the temple and the king's palace. But we're going to find that he leaves some things there. This isn't that full and final destruction that we'll find in the next chapter. There are still some artifacts, some brass, some vessels that are left. And we'll see that in the next chapter. He carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother and the king's wives and his officers, those he carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And so notice, and the king of Babylon in verse 17 made Mattaniah his father's brother king in his stead and changed his name to Zedekiah. Jehovah shall remember. And so notice he reigns for 11 years. But there's something that happens in the next chapter that we'll see in the ninth year that's very important. In Ezekiel chapter 12, the prophet will write about the reign of Zedekiah and will prophesy concerning it. Believe it or not, even in the days of Ezekiel, there was a remnant of Jews that were taken away as a part of that first second captivity that still believed that the Lord was going to be kind to Israel and restore them again. Zedekiah even interviewed with Jeremiah, and you'll find this in those chapters that we talked about earlier. He'll bring Jeremiah into his presence and he'll say, "Will the Lord do according to all of his tender mercies like he has?" The answer is no. The end has come for Jerusalem. The sins of Manasseh having taken place at the time and history in which they did, after all of the reforms and even after all of Josiah's reforms, the land cannot be cleansed but by being destroyed. And remember also that the prophets will tell us that one of the greatest sins of Israel was that they stopped celebrating the Sabbath, that the land might enjoy her Sabbaths. She will rest for 70 years, the prophets tell us. Well, so then with all of that, Zedekiah comes to power. And Zedekiah is a weak, conniving, and deceptive man. As we will see if we read, if the Lord sustains us long enough to read together again through Jeremiah. We'll see that there's something about him that is particularly wicked. But Ezekiel chapter 17 also mentions Zedekiah. Not just in chapter 12 where it's prophesied that he will go out of the city by night, that he will travel to the land of Babylon and he'll not see it. I wonder why he doesn't see it. We'll find out in the next chapter. But we'll also find out in chapter 17 that when Nebuchadnezzar put him into power, that he took a covenant from him. A covenant to serve Nebuchadnezzar. But in the ninth year, Zedekiah broke that covenant. And the Lord will call him to account in the prophecy of Ezekiel for breaking that covenant in the ninth year of his reign. Isn't that interesting? And so we learn from this passage about covenant keeping as well, that we must honor those lawful promises that we make. Well, with that then, we'll have to stop. And let's stand together and continue praising God in this.